Kali, this is my brother.
What?
Look at him. Look at me. We're twins.
He looks at you and he just, his eyes are like wide. He's in shock. He tried to kill me. You know what they're like. They're all the same. Not you, but you know what I mean.
What am I supposed to do? Just let you kill my brother?
Fuck! And she like topples over like a crate.
Can I please get him out of this?
She looks angry. Fine.
I start undoing what I can.
If you so much as move, horse boy, I'm gonna kill you.
Kali, please.
He tried to kill me. He's been hunting.
I'm not saying he's in the right, but I don't know what to do, okay?
She just stands there. You take off the gag. You filthy pile of... I've already killed Talva Shoff. You see Callie's eyes go wide. What did you say about my father?
Study, be quiet. Please. Just be quiet. Both of you. Just be quiet, please. Take my hand from his mouth.
He looks shocked, pained, and angry at you.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here with that?
Stop it.
I thought you were dead, Sadia. For dead, killed you in a ritual.
What are you doing here? You're not supposed to be this far off from the tribe.
You hear, as you're talking to him, angry footsteps as Kalia has walked out. Good riddance.
Stop it.
Why are you with them? You know what they're like.
They're my friend. You're still so full of hate.
I thought they killed you. I spent these last several years offending you in Ultar. I swore an oath.
Clearly, I didn't die. I ran away.
You were supposed to take over.
Take over what? A tribe full of hate that has no basis on anything except ancient stories.
Ancient stories? It's well known. All of Exandria knows orcs and half-orcs are no good. You know this. They have the blood of the betrayer gods in them. They're almost as bad as elves.
You haven't seen the world. Our tribe just stays enclosed in our forest and steep in the hate that we have for these people.
We all know the stories our ancestors say. We would have chosen.
Chosen for what? To keep breeding hate for animosity's sake?
It was the Arkhar that saved our ancestors. It's our job to destroy the evil that came out of the ruiner's blood. The orcs fell, we ascended. You know the stories.
They didn't choose this. Do you know what they say about us? And what we are? Nothing but animals and full of hate and just nothing but beast. Then after I unchain you, you kill Kali. What are you going to do? You're on a boat in the middle of the ocean.
We have to come back.
For what?
Mother was distraught.
What?
She thought you had died. She had forced you into the ritual. She thought she had sent you off to die. It destroyed her. She got sick.
She doesn't get... Sedanian, she doesn't.
And then we were attacked by her tribe.
They probably thought I had killed her.
Do you know who she is? She's the daughter of the Shelf of Tarth. Their leader.
I know who she is. She knows who I am.
They decimated most of it. We were able to drive them off. I killed the Shelf of Tarth, but not before he killed Mother. Auntie took her place.
How is she running the tribe then?
She said if I was able to bring honor to the family, I would hunt down the people who killed you.
Well, I'm not dead.
And then she moved the tribe.
Where?
I don't know. I've been hunting for you these past several years. I've been alone, with only one goal, and now I find that you're in bed with them?
Then what would you have me do?
Kill her and come home. We can find them.
I'm not going to kill her.
You at least untie me?
Can you just please calm down? I'll start untying him.
These thick chains hit the ground with a clatter. And as they do, he feels himself. He comes out of the cell and stretches. I thought I was about to die.
You're fine. Stop being so dramatic.
5 minutes ago, I was chained up like an animal by my enemy.
5 minutes ago, you were acting like an animal.
I'm glad you're not dead.
I'm glad you're not dead either. Or thrown overboard. I can try and speak on your behalf. I'm off doing a job. I left. I've traveled. Zadani, I went to school. I went to study magic.
Where?
Over at Amon. I went to Elysium and they saw that I was curious enough to learn and they accepted me. I've done so much, Zadani, if you just let me tell you. So you can see what's really out there. That's whatever animosity and hate between orcs and centaurs and whoever else is not worth it.
Well, you can tell me about this school you went to, at least.
I can bring you up. You're not allowed to hurt anyone. There's Kali here. She is my friend. And I will not let you hurt her.
For the sake of you, since I've just found you, I will not raise my weapon, but only to defend myself.
I can accept that. I give him a big, 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 big hug. Now I'm going to introduce you to some friends. Alright?
Alright.
I'll go over to the rooms and knock on both doors. Hi, everyone!
Hello, Zadia?
Hi.
Are you married?
Stop asking those questions. You don't even... That's the first thing that comes out of your mouth, really?
Yes.
Who are you?
My name is Adrian. I do a bow.
Nice to meet you.
This is Jacqueline.
Hello.
Kuval. Neil. Everyone, this is my brother Zadani.
Hello, everybody.
You were just also on this boat as well?
A miraculous coincidence.
He was just...
No, an orc. A half-orc captured me down below.
That seems oddly specific, for no reason at all. But why were you captured? And why are you now free?
You know what? It's... The situation is handled. It was just a misunderstanding.
That seems to happen with you a lot, actually.
I could say a lot about what happens to you a lot, couldn't I, Adrian?
Wow, okay. Sure. And then he just kind of, like, looks around, like, is this me again, or... I walk right up to him, and I, like, look up at him. You seem like you're a good fighter.
Yes, I've hunted many a great beast.
That is impressive. Are you opposed to a short sparring match whenever we find land?
What are your terms?
Oh, just for fun. I'd like to test my mettle against those who seem very capable, and it's in your eyes.
I will be glad to train. I'm always down for training.
Perfect.
Zadani, why don't you go into my room and rest? Is that okay with you, Jacqueline?
Oh, of course.
Now Adrian's, like, kind of side-eyeing him.
Would you prefer if I to be alone. It seems as if you have been split up a while. If you would like, I could go to a different room.
I have to go look for someone first, and I'll be back to speak more with my brother. We've actually been talking for a few hours down in the hall. Sadani, would you just stay in the room, please?
Fine.
Thank you for... I'll be back, everyone. Thank you for being kind. I will explain things in due time.
And as Zadia walks off back to the main deck, trying to find Callie, the camera goes back to all of you as you all are in the hallway. What do some of you do?
I'd probably just find Jacqueline. Jacqueline, are you doing all right so far?
Yes, I am. I am all right. I was, I will admit, I thought the room situation would be a little bit different, but, I feel like they need some privacy. I just wish I could give them some room.
I know you're tired.
Yes. Yes, I would. I admit I would like some, I would prefer private quarters.
There is the possibility that we could... I have still a fair bit of coin. Maybe even if it's just for one day, we could trade rooms with someone and find a place much more reserved.
I mean, I could also try to, you know, order someone around and make them simply give us a room.
Let's use that if money does not work first. How's that sound?
I would like to get to rest, and I would like to give Zadia and her brother that space as well. I think that has made me want that even more.
And then I'm gonna walk out and find someone, like a group who maybe has a smaller room, and then I'm gonna offer them coin to borrow that room for the night. Because I have a lady that I'd like to woo. I offer them 2 copper each.
Hey, make it a silver and we'll leave you for the night.
Silver for everyone, or just...
Yeah, well, one of us.
Okay. And then I'll go find Jacqueline. I found us somewhere delightful for the night.
Ah, thank you. Would you go in there and check to make sure there is nothing in there which will make me...
Feel unwell, of course.
Yes.
I'm gonna go in and look around.
You go in and you search high and low for Jacqueline, your friend. And you don't find anything.
It looks clear, Jacqueline.
Ah, thank you so much. I go in, I make sure no one else is there, and then I relax.
And as you rest your head, Jacqueline, now feeling safe and secure in a room by yourself where you can finally let all your hair down, the camera pans out to the deck of the ship, where we see you, Zadia, looking for Callie. You look all over the ship and below, and as you head back up to the deck, we hear you shout out her name. But there is no response but the wind whistling as you sail on. And as you make this noise, Captain Kyoko approaches you.
Are you all right? Yeah. It's the middle of the night. People are sleeping.
I'm sorry. I'm looking for Callie. I really need to find her.
I'm sure you'll see her tomorrow. You are on a boat. She can't leave.
It's good night, Captain Kyoko.
And good night, Zadia.
And I go back to my room and realize Jacqueline is not there and feel horrible about that because I probably made her move. And then look to Zadani and just... She's going to stay up for a while just thinking on what happened. And eventually sleep, but it's like that sleep where it's restless sleep.
And the night takes all of you. Very emotional, dramatic, and eventful evening. And as we see the golden ruin ship out, we see the stars in the sky bright. The moon is shining. The waves crashing against the ship. The sails come out fully. These beautiful turquoise sails that seem to glimmer in the moonlight. And as the ship sails off, we see seagulls heading with the ship and heading off. And as we see Iman getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And as the second day comes, it is midday, the sun is high, the seagulls are cawing loudly. A few of the sailors are out, just looking out at the ocean, slacking off as they do. As you're looking for Kali, Sadia, you cannot find her anywhere on the deck, or any of the rooms, or below. And as you're about to give up, you hear a rope drop down. And the sounds of rappelling as Kali drops down by the mast, as she seemed to be staying on the crow's nest, a place you could never get to. She looks like upset and angry and frustrated. Her eyes are like bloodshot, like she's been crying.
Can we speak, please?
You head up to the quarters, and she kind of closes the door. She kind of sits on the bed. Yes?
I lay on the floor, so I'm basically like at height with her. You're upset, and you're angry, and I understand that, and I'm sorry.
He's saying he killed my father.
Seems your people wanted to avenge you as well, and they attacked my tribe, and your father killed my mother, and my brother killed your father.
And she looks distraught. She looks as though she hadn't even considered, like, for a long time, what her leaving would impact, if it would ever impact. She stands up, and you see that she's like got this pent up anger. She doesn't know what to do with it, and she slams her like gauntleted fist into the wood, and it cracks. But then you see the crack in the wood kind of heal up, and she just goes, "I never should have left. Never should have done this. It was a bad idea. Everyone's dead. At least if it was just us, this would have been one of us dying."
I thought about that last night. If I hadn't left, I would have taken over. Maybe you would have killed me, and you'd have taken over. Or maybe I would have killed you. Our parents wouldn't live.
A lot of people could have lived. And as you both say this, Kali punches the wall once again. It heals up magically. She turns around, anger in her eyes, and she says, angrily, in confidence towards you, "We can't be friends. I mean, everything that's happened, it was selfish putting our own feelings forward. And now everyone's dead."
She stays silent for a moment and kind of looks at her hands. "But we did it. And it's done. You don't have to be my friend anymore. And we don't have to travel together. And I can leave you alone if you'd like."
"It's not going to change anything now. It's just, God, I'm so young.
And we thought we were doing what was right. leaving behind all the bloodshed and the hate and the animosity.
I just need time, Zarya. It's alright, you got your brother. I have no one. She stomps out of the room.
Kali. I'll try to follow her and just call out to her. Like, please, please stop for a moment. Just...
She stops. Like, what?
Zarya, she'll go over to Kali slowly. You know, not trying to... Making sure that if she gets too close, then she doesn't like it, you know.
You see anger in her eyes?
She's gonna try to hug her.
No. This can't be done with just words or placating, alright? Everything has changed. Everything. You heard what he said. You heard what he called me.
That doesn't mean it's true.
If it's not him, it's someone else. It's okay for you. You've got your group. You've got your friends. You've got your brother here. What about me? Everywhere I go, I have to face this. And the people I know get thinner and thinner.
And I've been nothing to you these past couple of years. You can do what you want. I'm not trying to placate you. I know this isn't something that can be fixed with a hug or pretty words. I know this. I'm not stupid. But through everything, through every night that I thought about the consequences of my actions, you know, I still had you.
As you say these words, they seem to resonate with Kali. Her eyes well up, and tears start to pour down her soft, Kali green skin. And she looks at you and says, "Why would you even want to be with someone like me?" And she breaks down crying, kneeling down, hand over her face, tears pouring, her red hair cascading over her shoulders. This proud fighter and warrior, broken by the many years of pain.
I will scoop her up and I'll go back to the room and I will just sit on the floor with her, holding her until she stops crying, just hugging her tightly.
You do. You rest with Kali in your arms. The tears go on for a long time. But we leave you both in that room as the camera pans out down the hallway onto the deck. We see day turn to night again and again, and then you start to hear bells.
They are coming from the crow's nest as everyone hears on the ship. Land ho! Land ho!
And as the ship rocks with the waves, the sails riding up, we see Isilra in the horizon. Seagulls carring out, vast mountains off in the horizons, and large trees peeking up even from this distance. As the ship winds its way in from now calmer seas, the waves still crash along the shoreline of Shorecombe. You see from the ship a small coastal city resting on the rocks of a harsh and unforgiving land. You see hard-cut stone buildings made to last and keep what little warmth this ever-cold land has inside. Much like the architecture, the people are also practical and hardy. You hear the cries of seagulls overhead and the banging of heavy wood slamming against the dock. you notice snow falling in Shurkholm as everything is coated in white. A familiar sight to some of you. A rare sight for these time of year for the rest. And it is chilly and cold. Welcome to Shurkholm. Hello everyone, I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. I just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for listening, subscribing, following, giving us 5 stars, it really means a lot to us. But I also want to take this moment to thank some of our patrons as well, because without you, some of this would not have been possible. So I thank you for your continued support, and I also hope that you're enjoying this series as well. So thank you to Michael, Grant, Shauna, Dusting, Just a Lily, Huma, Chris, Kristen, and Casual. Thank you to all of you for your patronage this month, for helping this podcast support not only the art, but the players and all of the production. Now, let's get back to the show. We hear boots on deck as we see all of you gathered. Kyoko is with Phineas. Callie is with Phineas behind her, guarding her, as well as Jaskar, her other bodyguard. Phineas just speaks up and says, "Well, it has been a very eventful journey, Kyoko, but it is always a pleasure in your company. Have a safe trip back. I hope to see you when I make my own trip. All of you, welcome to Shurkholm. Sorry for the chaotic journey and not being around much, but I've had to prepare a bunch of paperwork and get myself in order for when we have arrived here. We'll be spending one day in the Soti Snap Inn while we gather some horses, and we'll make our way to Vasselheim. Please go, relax, it has been a troubling journey." And she looks out towards the city, towards this town, rather. "Enjoy what you can. The main attraction really is just the Soti Snap Inn." And she looks at all of you and walks down. "I'll catch you later."
As we get off, I'd like to take Zadani off to the side and tell him, "Listen, right now we're very far away from where we are from, and you have 2 options. Wait here and see how you can make your way back and try and find our old tribe, or you can come with me and come in this journey, but you can't be rude or try to kill Kali or any of my friends. It's up to you."
"Fine. I won't do anything unless provoked."
"No nasty stares, no mean remarks, no saying like, 'Oh, I killed your father,' and stuff like that. Please don't say that."
"I won't say that, but I am but one centaur."
"Yes, but you're also a really good fighter. I'm happy to see you again, but my life is different now. I want you to be able to see the world too. To understand why I left. I'm not saying that it was the right choice and that the consequences don't matter, but it is the choice I made. And I'm sorry."
They look towards you. And they nod. And you see them shiver. As you're all cold on the deck, "Let's get somewhere warm."
I'm gonna go to the inn. I am hungry, and I am going to change into my cold clothes because it is cold.
"I will see you all at the inn if you plan on doing anything. I'm just gonna lay down."
As you're all going, Jacqueline, you see a man eyeing you. He's in dark cloak, silvery long hair, in braids. Unusual sight, open and out, you see a drow man. He has a bunch of papers in his hands, and he's near a wall, and he just rips another paper down that was stuck up and sticks it. Just kind of looks towards you as you stare towards him quizzically. He just kind of nods before you get the chance to respond. He walks away.
I was thinking I might go over here, and I'm gonna like just like start backing away from them towards where I saw the drow. I will meet up with you.
I don't think you should go out alone.
Take a buddy.
Buddy system. I can go with you, Jacqueline.
Oh, no, you wanted to go and see other things, and I understand that, and I was just going to go over here. I'm still backing away. I'm still like...
Jacqueline, no, Jacqueline, stop.
Don't, well, I could go. You could still go on your date. I could go with Jacqueline. I do not have anything to do.
I mean, I don't know if I have a date or not anymore.
I grab Neil, and I'm like, all right, you can come. Come along. Let's go right now.
Okay.
And as this conversation goes on, the camera goes past all of you, down the snow-crusted walkway, past an alley, and the camera goes dark. And as we see again, we now hear footsteps on the snow, it crunching below. As we see you, Kuval, as you are outside the inn. You look and you see large wooden beams, a large turtle head outside, just bone, and beneath it, it reads, "Welcome to the Salty Snap Inn." And as you walk inside, the door creaks and you're hit with a swath of warmth. It is a large room fitted with dark wood. You see hearths on the left and right side of this room. A grand and open place. In the center is a bar. There are a few people milling about, not too busy. And behind the bar you see a turquoise tiefling. Forked tongue, long turquoise horns that go into pink. Beautiful long black hair. And they appear to be talking with someone. And as you walk in, as the door slams behind you, you catch a bit of that conversation.
What do you mean he hasn't sent any letters back? Are you sure you've looked, Euphoria? Tanner, my boy, are you sure?
You hear Euphoria say, "I haven't heard anything, Henry. If I did, I would... send the letters on to you. Please, you're making a ruckus, and even though we're not as busy yet, you're still being disruptive. Please, our drink is on me. I'm probably going to see you tomorrow as well again about this. Please, I'll get some warm food." And you see she gives him some alcohol, and he goes off towards the hearth, and you kind of walk in, and as the door slams behind you, her eyes, Euphoria's eyes, flit up. "Ah, you're new. I heard the ship dock in. Hello. I'm Euphoria. I run the Salty Snap Inn. It is a pleasure to meet you."
"I believe we have rooms booked here under Phineas."
"Phineas Abram the Third, yes. Oh, she's back. It's been about 6-7 months. Yes, you must be one of her entourage. Yes, you have a place upstairs. We don't really have a lot of rooms, so they're just partitioned. Would you like any food, any drink at all? You look exhausted from the sea."
"I just need a good night's sleep."
"If you go upstairs, you'll get one. What is your name?"
"Kuval." And then Kuval's just going to walk off.
And as you go to sleep, Kuval, we see the camera pan out the window, down the street again, and we see you, Jacqueline, as you're looking by the wall where you saw the drow. You see far down the street as the drow is walking You see some humans. The human waves to him, this man does. And the drow waves back. And as they two cross paths, they have a quick conversation. Nothing too long, just pleasantries. And the drow walks on. A strange sight for you and Neil, as this would not happen in Tau'Dorei. Drow are not particularly welcomed there. And as the drow walks on, he walks into a building. Fine wood and glass windows, and a banner and a sign outside that simply reads, Shorecomb Connections.
Jacqueline, what are we looking for?
Nothing necessarily, I suppose. I saw this person and there was a note up and they tore it down and then they looked at me and so I just thought, oh, do I know this person? You know? Do you ever do that? And then anyway, so I was like, well, at least let me go see what this note was about. Maybe it is a bad thing and we need to avoid it here in the city. But no, I cannot find it. And all I see is that they went that way and I don't know if we should bother following them because at this point it might just be rude. Perhaps, I don't know. Do you think, that might just be a public store. Perhaps we could go just see.
Yeah, I mean, we are sightseeing, right? That is what we do. Let's go. I mean, I have never... That is a lie. I have once met a drow. A nice drow. I've met a lot of mean drows, but a nice drow I have met. We're exploring. It's a new continent. Maybe country. I don't know where we are, but let's go.
Yes, we cross the seas. We are on an entirely new landmass. It is most certainly a new continent.
I totally know the difference between the two. Okay, let us go.
And you head down the street, and as you make your way towards this building, you see a small figure in a dress walk in before you. And as you head up closer, you see this one-story building built with strong grey brick and dark wooden beams that line the sides of this square building. Along the top half of the building, you see a large sign that, as I said before, read in gold, Shoreline Connections. There's a board outside with what looks to be different job postings.
Let us go in and pretend we are interested in fancy things. Let's go.
I think only one of us needs to pretend about that.
And as you walk in, the bell rings out and you see this large bar separating the room, and you see tables and some carpets as you walk in. On the left hand side, you see some chairs and tables, what looks to be some paper, like a seating area. At the back, you see what looks to be a bookshelf. You see another shelf with a bunch of papers and folders on it. You see two doors at the back, and you see this elf now, this drow elf, and they're like light lavender skin, side cut, long silvery hair, kind of bright eyes. And as you walk in, you hear a conversation happening. And you see that this drow is leant over, looking down at this small human girl with dirty blonde hair. And he is saying, "Your mother hasn't come back yet, nor have I heard from her. I'm sorry, Gwendolyn." This girl, who seems to be Gwendolyn, just says,
"Oh, okay, Mr. Aerodef. Can you send her a letter and tell her I miss her so, so much? And I'm sorry I got mad when she left. And I'm hungry, and I'm cold, and I miss her big hugs. And that grandma won't stop sleeping or take a bath and smells now."
"I will, Gwendolyn. I'll let you know if I hear anything, okay? If you need anything, let me know." And she nods. "Get home safe now. It's getting dark."
Okay.
As she walks out, you notice your eyes darting for details, as you always do for people. And you see that Gwendolyn's hair is done in braids, but kind of messy. Her dress is a bit dirty, and there are bags under her eyes as though she hasn't slept.
One moment. I do not want you to leave yet. I'm sorry, I do not know you, but I did hear a little bit of what just happened, and you said you are very angry and alone?
And she looks at me and just goes, a
little. I'm okay, I can take care of myself.
With it help at all? Do you have enough, or would you like some more? I only have some bread and a few simple things. Would that help at all?
She looks at you and kind of looks towards Aerdef. Aerdef is kind of nods.
Okay.
We are not around long, but if there is anything we can do, we are staying at the inn.
Okay, can I go now?
Yes, it was nice. It was nice meeting you. Young girl.
I'm Gwendolyn.
Oh, well then it was nice meeting you, Gwendolyn.
Okay, bye-bye.
She takes the bread and she opens the door. As the door closes, Aerodef.
Well, thank you for that. That was quite nice of you, strangers.
Do you not have, perhaps, a service in this city to remove dead bodies from the sound of it? That sounds like it could eventually... You see, that sounds like it could be very sickening for a little girl.
I don't think they were dead. It just sounded ill. There's been a cold going around recently.
All right, I'm sorry. When I hear old, not moving for extended periods of time, starting to smell badly, I do automatically think of decomposition.
No, that is completely fine. I don't really know. I mean, there was a problem. I'm sure one of the watch would check it out. But apart from that, welcome to the Shoreline Connections Shorecomb edition. How can I help you? I am Aerdef. Are you looking for work?
Actually, we are here with work already. That is why we are here.
Yes, we were just coming around, looking and seeing what there was to see in this town.
Oh, well, this is just a small portside town, so apart from trading and things like that, there's not much to see, really. The most main attraction is the inn, but people often stay here and move on to Vasselheim. It's not far from here, a few days away.
Is there anything special this small town is known for, or is simply a stopping point?
No, there's not much really this place is known for. I suppose apart from the rocky, glassy shore at the back, kind of winding round, they say at some point long ago there was some fire or some dragon's breath that kind of set the glass of the sand shooting upwards. It's jagged and dangerous, and some people come for that.
We'll have to go check it out with the rest of the group.
I'm sorry, your shop just had a very lovely sign, and we were curious, so we have just simply arrived here. We haven't even gone to visit the inn yet, but we came to explore.
Of course. If you need any work, we often have work for mines and excavations and things at Vasselheim. A number of contract work. If you need anything, please come back, both of you.
You see sticking out at the bookshelf at the back, where there's like paperwork, you see kind of sticking at the end, torn off paper. And it's kind of torn off in a way where like you saw at the wall. And you don't see what it is, but you definitely see, like, the first letters. And the letters you see are M-I-S-S.
Well, you, I must say, I am curious. I did see you just down the way a little bit, and it seemed there was that a different job posting that you took down? Was that a job that just got finished?
Yes, I I often take down old postings that I post around. And he kind of like looks at you, kind of like shifts a bit.
Oh, okay. Well, since he did that, I'm gonna cast question enchantment on him, since I tried to be earnest and he didn't do it. So, damn it! Oh shit! I rolled an 8. Damn it! No. Versus his will, so I don't think that's a success.
Oh, really? That's it's. It wasn't. I thought I saw. Is that that's not it over there? And I point to the. If this had succeeded, he would have to tell the truth. Because this did not succeed, he is not required to tell the truth. As I point to the piece of paper and say, "It's not that over there."
Yeah, he just looks at you and just says, "I think you should leave."
Have a good day, bye. And I like grab Neil and like book it out the store.
The bell rings and you head out.
He was most certainly lying, but I was not able to get the truth out of him, and I think he could tell that I was trying to get him to tell us more, but there was certainly a paper, and all I could see is that it could be many things, but it started with M-I-S-S, and I don't know about you, but the first thing I think of is missing.
I mean, if it was outside, why not just ask around? I mean, I'm sure people saw the sign.
You know what? I am probably just getting distracted, so I guess we could go. What is there anything you wanted to see, or should we just head back to the inn?
As an anecdote, and that this entire time, I'm still carrying around my plant. I've just been walking around with my house plant at hand this entire time. I have like a little cover on it because it's cold outside, so like it doesn't get frostbite on the tips. Like, we're just out here.
And as this conversation continues, you make it back to the inn. You all talk amongst yourselves, minus Kuvol, of course. You all drink up as Zadia recants the story of what happened. You all talk about the long journey up until now. And then the door to the inn slams open. And you see Phineas there in her woolly clothes. She seems to have changed. Callie is behind her and Jaskar. And she just says, "Oh, finally, finally, finally. It is good to be here. Euphoria, darling, I have returned. Open up your most delectable elder wine. I wish to partake with..." She looks around. You five, you over there. Ah, it's so good to be here. She starts coming over to you.
Zadia's probably like 3 drinks. Oh, it's not a lot because she's a big girl, but she's 3 drinks in. And she's like not really even buzzed because she's an 8-foot tall centaur. But she's just like trying to start getting that. She's working on it.
Phineas like takes some chairs over, like you see Callie and Jaskar can bring 2 tables over, and she sits down at the end of the table and she just says, it is so nice to just sit down in a warm, dry place. How are you all doing?
Zadia just has this face of just like, her life is just going wrong.
Be sure to get some good sleep, because tomorrow at 10 in the morning, we've got the horses all booked and we're off to Fasselheim. It's going to be a long journey, rough terrain, cold in our hair. It's going to be thrilling and exhilarating. And she looks generally like pumped up.
Are you excited about the chilling ride or getting there?
All of it. Just the untamed wilderness that is Isilra. Much of the continent is still unexplored. And it's just so... And she kind of like balls her fist up and kind of like taps her feet in the ground. It's so exciting. Just could be on the cusp of something so new at the excavation site. I look so forward to getting back there. Prepare for a hard journey. Yes, I've also booked us some travel companions as well, some guards for the road, just in case some of the creatures attack us during the travel. It is very dangerous travel, of course, but exciting nevertheless. And as the drinks flow on...
If I'm sloshed and I'm drunk, I think she would try to find Kali.
As the night kind of draws on, Kelly is just downstairs, still kind of drinking, kind of watching the fire.
Hey!
She looks at you as you say that. Hey, are you alright?
Yeah. I'm perfect. Good. I'm good. How are you? She kind of just plops down next to her. You look good. You look good, Kali. Did I ever tell you that you look good? Because you do.
I'm wearing the same stuff you normally see me in.
Yeah, but you look good.
Oh, thank you. I actually wanted to speak to you.
Let's talk. I wanted to talk to you, too.
I need time.
No, yeah. Right.
Your brother and everything, and I need time just to find out who I am.
I get that. I just wanted to make sure we're still friends, because you're really important to me. I need time to...
Look, I am going to go. Have a good night. She kind of pats you and she heads out. And it's late now. It's because you've been drinking for a while. It's about 12 o'clock at night. And as this happens and you're kind of feeling yourself in this moment, the door swings open. You see it's a human man, late 20s, wearing what looks to be a watcher's garb, some metal, some high furs. He runs in and shouts out to Euphoria. He runs over to her, "Euphoria! Euphoria! Have you heard?" She goes, "What? What?" "It's Henry. He's dead."
Cars at night, they always look like yours, fading into and out of street lights. Cars at night, they always look like yours. I'll always look twice.